have a chance right now. Tim Cole has an announcement. Tim, hold on. We can start the recording. Was that your announcement, or do you have an announcement? Okay.
Excuse me, this is the operator. This conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please go ahead. Your lines are open.
Thanks, Matt. I was asked to just put out a reminder about these the strategic planning sessions that are set for this week. One is set in direct conflict with James's thing tomorrow from 9 to 11, so we don't really want to push that one. But there's also one on Friday, if people are still here, from 8 to 10 in the morning. But, you know, this is just to provide guidance to the current strategic plan process. So it really probably would be good if some people could attend one or the other of those sessions, just to make sure your voice is heard. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Hi, Wendy. Microphones.
Sorry. Tomorrow morning from 9 to 11, and then another, the same thing. I mean, so either session is just a duplicate of the other one, so. Right. Congress 3? That's this room.
But registrars are busy tomorrow at 9, right?
Yes, because we're in Carlin 1 and 2.
To tell other people from other stakeholder groups.
No, you split
attend.
One person from your group.
My clone will attend.
Okay, thanks. So we've got Wendy here who's joined us. Welcome, Wendy. And she wanted some of our time, so we definitely wanted to make room for her on the schedule. We've done that. We've got the registries coming in at the top of the hour, so I'm just going to turn things over to Wendy, and the floor is yours.
Thanks. So I'm here from the non-commercial stakeholder group, and as some of you may have heard in our interventions in the discussion of the registrar accreditation agreement, we have grave concerns about many of the demands being pressed by law enforcement for data collection, data retention, and who is validation and verification. I think that many of the specific requirements there would be harmful to privacy interests and harmful to the free expression interests of individual and organizational non-commercial registrants. We're looking for the best ways to give input to the negotiation process and to the negotiation team. We think we share a lot of common interests with registrars in avoiding burdens that would be passed on to registrants. Any burden on the registration process is one that makes it harder for you to offer services to us as customers. And so among the specific things that we're doing, we're convening a drafting team tomorrow morning to work on a one or two pager to send to privacy and data protection officers to invite them to and encourage them to send input into the process, so it's not only one sort of law enforcement that's being heard, but those in charge of enforcing the consumer protection laws as well. Because there are governmental interests in data protection and data privacy. And so we hope to engage some of those voices in the discussion. We are also planning to write in individual comments and encourage others to make their voices heard in this process. Wanted to start a dialogue around that and to ask if there are other ways that we might work together on these issues.
Sure, thanks, Wendy. I've got Jeff, James, Elliot, and Gray.
Okay, thanks. Jeff Eckhouse here. So we appreciate it, and I think some of the feedback that I received after our just sort of session there with the board is they've seen, the board members have seen the ICANN staff document, the draft, I guess as you could say, that's, you know, their draft of how they would like it. And their sort of thought is, well, staff likes it, it seems the community likes it, why can't registrars just sign it? Because it seems like they're the ones who just are against it. I think for the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I think you made your voice heard yesterday, but I think it might be imperative to let board members know that you as members of the community do not agree with the draft as posted by ICANN, and that you are not happy with it, and you cannot, as members of the community, you don't want to agree to that either as it's drafted. And I think that that would be a huge help to us. I mean, we've been pushing that argument and let people know that, but I think they just, you know, as I think Mason has stated, they think of registrars as the stakeholder group of no. So I think they, you know, they sort of discount that. But if they hear from other members of the community that they are not happy with the drafted agreement as posted, that it would be a huge help for us.
Thanks, Jeff. Wendy, you?
So we're meeting with the board in parallel to this, and as soon as I leave here, I'm going to go over there and make sure that they've heard that concern, both at this meeting and in follow-up written communications afterwards.
Thanks. James?
Hi, Wendy. Thanks. And, you know, we're fortunate in this particular issue that the wrong thing to do is also the expensive thing to do. But we want to emphasize, I think, that it's not necessarily about the bottom line. I think that in private conversations, I've kind of half-heartedly commented that, you know, if we could completely eliminate cybercrime and only double the prices of registration and inconvenience everyone, you know, I think that would be worth entertaining. But I think at the bottom of this entire discussion is that this is a completely ineffective way to approach the problem. So I think we're encouraged that other stakeholder groups are interested in this and that are seeing the bigger picture here, which is that registrars are not just simply taking their ball and going home, that we are looking out for our customers because, you know, if we don't do right by them, they won't stay our customers very long. I'm curious, though, is there any other discussion within other stakeholder groups regarding the staff issues and the way the more I listen to folks and the more I discuss these and the more RAA meetings, I'm growing increasingly uncomfortable with the idea that that the GAC and the GNSO and law enforcement put forth this raft of issues and that staff just kind of, you know, put a wish list in attached to that, stapled to the back of that page. And some of those are extraordinary in terms of contracts in general, but in terms of just having a nuclear option over this entire industry. And so I'm wondering, has there been any discussion aside from who is validation, verification, and who is, and data retention, has there been any discussion about the staff issues in your stakeholder group?
Thanks, James. I think we've started with the who is issues, but to the extent that the other issues would be used as ways to impose a form of intermediary liability or pressure, if not quite liability, because there's the threat that if you don't act right, we can revoke the contract, they would be of concern. I would be interested, now that we have the draft with the language that they're trying to push, I will be looking at it more closely and would be interested in having conversations with any of you about other issues that you find concerning.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, James. Elliot?
You have two, Nirya. 2 points, Wendy. The first is that just a note, a thought to keep in your head. I've had a couple people play back to me that in the discussion on the RAA yesterday, that they heard you concede that verification is inevitable. Now, I was in there. I heard what you said. I also know the part that might have confused them. And, you know, when that's coming from you, it carries a fair bit of weight on this point. And so I note that for you to maybe, you know, be be a little careful about that. The second is I would really encourage you guys, you know, you, Robin, whoever, I mentioned the two of you because you're both lawyers, although there's a number of them on the NC side, to, you know, both the staff version of the agreement and our version of the agreement are posted. And I think if NC was to post their version of the agreement, that would be very, very powerful. There's nothing that would stop you guys from doing it. I think you probably wouldn't have to engage in a ton of work because you don't have to go through the whole agreement. You can really focus on the one or two sections that are most important for you. And, you know, you could also do that, you know, with the patina of you know, being the folks who understand the privacy, both issues and laws, best, you know, better than either staff or registrars do. And, you know, there's nothing to stop you guys from doing it. It becomes very public, and, you know, my experience is that those things have a lot of weight, and so I think that that would be probably a very material contribution.
Thanks for the suggestion. I will see whom I can recruit among my lawyer colleagues to help with that project.
Let me know if you need help recruiting.
I've got Gray and Volker. Gray.
Hey, thanks. To kind of follow up on James's thought, Wendy, another area, and this is one of the staff recommendations, I think, when we talked about it with Kurt this morning, about the rescission of the contract if the business models change as kind of an opportunity to really change things up. And I'd direct you to that because I think the greatest voice that you guys have and that we have and a lot of members of the community have is through the GNSO. And if there's the development of kind of external, extra GNSO processes for policy development, those will likely get used more. And I think that it's my thought that as someone who has a great stake in the GNSO, that your voice would then be diminished. So if you're looking for areas where you could provide input, and it's not the kind of the previously well-known hot-button issues, but also the staff ones, to put more color to James' comment, I think there could be some traction there. The second one would be, this is not necessarily for this meeting, but another area of collaboration, I think, between our groups would be in the conduct. We just came from the board discussion where we talked about the, you know, kind of emergence of the ITU, and just as, you know, we have an alignment of interests with respect to certain aspects of the RAA, I certainly think that we could have an alignment of interests with respect to, you know, transition of authority to the ITU. So as you guys are thinking about that and we're thinking about how to respond to that, you know, there could be opportunity for collaboration. So just to suggest to think about it, and maybe next time we talk in Toronto, we'll have more commentary.
Great. Thanks, Craig. Volker?
Yeah, just to add to Jeff's and James's comments, one of the problems that we face during the negotiations has always been that when we raise privacy issues and public interest issues, ICANN staff has kind of accused us of making this a cost issue only. When we voice these issues, we are not as believable as parties that are directly involved. So we are welcoming your involvement and your willingness to engage ICANN on these issues. And coming from other parties than registrars, these issues will be a lot clearer to the board. In the end, we believe that a lot of these propositions, while they may aid law enforcement in a way, they are way out of proportion to the goals that will be achieved. Effectively, we are shooting cannons at little birds to achieve these goals if we were to follow ICANN's suggestions. And we believe there's severe privacy and security issues for the internet and for the registrants that have to be addressed. And we cannot address them effectively because we will always be seen as having ulterior motives for bringing these up.
Thanks. So I'm hearing that the arguments about cost are not particularly effective We would tend to emphasize the arguments about privacy, security, integrity of domain registrations, and ability to engage in lawful uses of the internet. None of us on non-commercial stakeholder group wants to see lawlessness on the internet either, but we don't think that these are effective means for attacking unlawful activity. So I think we share a lot of those concerns.
Cost has never been an argument that I can accept it. So we have not relied on that argument. Still, every time we make an argument that is not related to cost, we are pushed back to what will be the cost. What will the cost of this be? And oh, you're making it a cost issue. I think I got the feeling that for many members of the ICANN negotiation team, this has also been a matter of public image. And I think we would be sacrificing a lot of freedoms and consumer choice for a public image measure.
James, real quick, and then Michele.
I'm not sure that it's a cost issue or a cost argument. It's thrown up at us whenever we try to advance other arguments. It's kind of the counter argument to anything registrars make. Well, you don't want to do that just because it's expensive. And the answer is, it's regardless of its cost. It's wrong to do this. And so I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks.
Thanks, James. Michele?
Again, just reiterating what everybody else said, we really do appreciate having input from the non-commercials. And one of the things that I don't think has been raised is with a lot of this talk about the validation and verification, there is a very high risk that you end up with registrations only being offered to people in certain countries and by companies in certain countries. I believe one of the African registrars who was here this morning spoke to us about how in certain parts of Africa they can only... The only thing that is anyway close to reliable is a mobile phone, yet most of them are prepaid, so they don't really tie back to a real person anyway. I personally have very strong views on this. I think you've seen my tweets and blog posts and everything else on that, so I won't bore you with repeating them. But again, as Volker and others have said, for us to make any statement of this kind, it is far too easy for ICANN and others to think that we have ulterior motives. Of course, we have a vested interest. But let's face it, for some of us, we make more money from hosting than we do from domains. So, you know, and ultimately, if our clients are upset, if their domains go dark because they missed a revalidation email or something like that, who's going to actually protect them? And who's going to protect us? It's completely unreasonable.
Thanks. And I think that's where it helps that we can point to members in countries in the developing world who have direct experience with some of these challenges and can help speak to the problems that they would face if forced to validate or if forced to interact only with businesses that could do that. The barriers to entry for businesses from those countries and the barriers to registrants who might not have easily verifiable information but nonetheless want to engage in online activity.
Thanks. Volker?
Yeah, one further issue is that verification also is complicated when a registrar is doing business internationally. In many countries, a registrant will probably prefer not to go through to a registrar in his own country because of security or privacy issues, because that registrar might be bound to release that data under certain conditions to people that the registrant would not like this data to be released to. He would turn to an international registrar who suddenly became unable to provide registrations in certain countries because he's not able to validate the data because of certain national, local specialities.
Thanks. So I think, unless anyone else has any other comments, that we are probably going to free Wendy up to Thomas. Yeah. Just, Thomas, if you would, just make sure to state your name, because we've got some folks remote too. Thanks.
My name is Thomas Rickert, and I'm one of the NOMCOM appointees to the GNSO Council. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak. I would just like to make one point that I already made to the Council, and that is that I think that the cost issue is an issue that needs to be raised. I think with every dollar that a domain registration costs more, you increase and perpetuate the digital divide. And I think each region of the world should have reasonably cheap or affordable access to their piece of virtual property. Thank you.
I don't say that I disagree, but this is an argument that we could not make stick with ICANN staff. Every time we try to raise this topic and broach the issue of cost, it was quickly turned around, not to the cost of the registrant, but the cost to us and our bottom line. So every time we made that argument, it backfired on us.
Just one thing. I think, though, that Thomas said it well, and that the argument needs to really be not that it's the cost to the registrars, it's the cost across the entire ecosystem, and not just dollar costs, it's social costs and other things as well. Yeah, Christian.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. I think the twist here is that it's not, usually the ICANN is hearing like, it's too expensive, so that is hurting your business. And that's the edge they don't like. But what Thomas was saying is it's not about our profit and our costs, but it is about what end users, which are not capable of paying, let's say, $10 or so, have here, what kind of problem they have. So I think it's a new twist to that argument.
We fully agree. The only problem is whenever we raise that topic and raise that topic as cost to others, ICANN only wants to hear the other part. No matter how we raise it, it's understood in the wrong way. So if others raise that topic, it may become heard. If we raise that topic, it will always fall back to our cost.
Yeah, James, go ahead.
Just to be clear, it's not a matter of whether it's true or whether ICANN believes it. It's a tactic that's used to discredit us. So we can believe it, we can violently agree with each other and with the other stakeholders, and I think Thomas makes a good point about the digital divide. I mean, there are, I think, two registrars serving the entire continent of Africa. If it becomes too risky to serve Africa, there will be zero registrars serving the entire country. You know, so it's, yeah, so, it, but it is, it's not a matter of the cost is real or not real, it's a tactic.
Okay, if it's a tactic, what can we do to counter tactic? Is that a word which even exists? No.
We rely on friends to raise the friends and allies.
Okay, I think we're good. Wendy, if you want to go two doors down, thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming in.
Great, thank you, and thank you all very much for the meetings that we've had, and look forward to continuing the conversation.
Great, thanks. So we can take maybe 2 minutes while the registry folks bring themselves in and come up to the front of the room. Oh, right. So yeah, sorry. We need to stop the recording now, and then we'll start it up again after we start with the registry folks. Well, I see Jeff Newman at least. It's the single registry representative. I thought you guys were like the... Oh, Becky, sorry. So Newstar has the entire registry market cornered here. Great. I did also want I also wanted to remind folks that we have drinks with the board tonight at 7 o'clock in the atrium, which I think is that up on the mezzanine level. Is that right, Jeff? Do you know? When they say the atrium, what the hell they're talking about? Huh?
Yeah, it's the buffet place. Yeah.
No. It's above. I think it's a... I thought it was upstairs where the little cafe... Yeah, right. That's what I think, too. Anyway, we'll find out.
I'll check and let you know.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock.
If you see a bunch of registrars, that's probably where it is.
That's a good point. I only had two in the fridge. I'd send them up my room, man.